Leo, when we talk about independent contractors or gig workers, people who work independently, obviously, for themselves, there comes the issue of healthcare benefits, other benefits that W-2 employees tend to get. Want to tell us a little bit about what the challenges are that are facing this sector?
Right now, we have more than one-third of Americans who are earning their income through independent contracting, freelancing, or some sort of gig work. And for some people, this work provides supplementary sources of income to help them meet their financial needs. And for others, it's their only opportunity to participate in the labor market. But as a result, because all of our workplace benefits, everything is tied to a traditional W-2 employment, this growing sector of independent workers are left out of those common workplace benefits, and that includes some tax advantages for benefits as well. If you're an employee, you get a set of tax benefits from the federal level, some exemptions, and all of those sorts of benefits, including tax advantages. They don't go to independent workers, and that's by design. And so as a result, what we're seeing is that policymakers, they're trying to take these set of independent workers and trying to reclassify them as employees in order to solve this problem of a growing labor force that's outside of the purview of employee benefits and so forth. As we've seen in kind of California with the bill, Assembly Bill 5, AB 5, those efforts tend to backfire, and they tend to harm those workers that they're trying to help.
Looking then at the solution to this problem, is there any proposed legislation that would allow gig workers or independent contractors to have more flexibility with their benefits?
Yes. So right now there's so much momentum and interest, I would say, both at the state level and at the federal level for what's called portable or flexible benefits. These are benefits that are not tied to a W-2 employment. They're not tied to one company on one employer. And if you think about it, many independent workers, freelancers, independent contractors, they have many different organizations or companies that they contract with or that they work with. A freelance graphic designer might have 15 different employers or companies that she's contracting with. So to have a benefit tied to one company makes no sense for that worker. So we're looking at these solutions called flexible or portable benefits, and that will enable self-employed workers and independent contractors, even self-employed business owners, to have access to benefits that are not tied to a W-2 employment arrangement. My co-author and I released a federal and a state policy guide for different reforms that policymakers can do in order to unleash this portable and flexible benefits revolution, I should say, because, again, our institutions and our policies have on purpose tied benefits to a W-2 employment arrangement. And back 100 years ago, this was not really a problem because many workers were regular payroll W-2 employees. But now those circumstances have changed. Our economy is changing. Technological advances are now creating this more flexible workforce. And we are also seeing the preferences of workers change, where they don't want to be at one company for their whole lives as a W-2 employee. They want to engage in these new forms of work, flexible, freelancing, independent work. These portable and flexible benefit solutions would allow us to kind of move away from the 20th century regulations model and to think more innovatively about how to welcome this future workforce.
A lot of times, Leah, states are laboratories of democracy, as we like to say, and they run ahead of the federal government in keeping up with the times and making policy changes. Have any states made any significant progress in this area, or do you see legislation at the state level advancing?
Yes, absolutely. So just last year, Utah made what we are calling the first voluntary flexible benefits reform. They passed a bill in Utah saying legalizing benefits to go to independent contractors, because right now at the federal and state level, the regulatory and legal framework, they discourage and restrict organizations from providing benefits to independent contractors, because if you provide a benefit to an independent contractor, the state agencies or the federal agencies will look at that and say, wow, you gave them benefits. They look like an employee. Let's reclassify your entire workforce as a W-2 employee. And so obviously companies don't want to take that risk of voluntarily providing benefits. So what UTA did is they passed a bill called Affordable Benefits Bill last year. And what that did was it allowed independent organizations to provide benefits to independent contractors without creating that liability or that risk of reclassifying those workers as employees. And as a result, we actually saw the first true portable benefits pilot program in Utah with the company Target. So they have Shipt, which is kind of their delivery wing. And so they're running a pilot program in Utah right now, providing benefits, portable benefits to delivery drivers for independent contractors or self-employed individuals right now. So, you know, we're waiting to see what the outcome of that will be. And I should say Pennsylvania did something similar as well. They didn't pass a bill, but a company, DoorDash, which is a gig economy company that many of us have used for getting our food delivered, they got with the approval from Governor Shapiro of Pennsylvania. They also launched a pilot portable benefits program last year. Again, allowing DoorDash to provide a set of portable benefits to some of their Dashers as well. So we're starting to see states kind of experimenting with this. But most importantly, what we want at the federal level is the Department of Labor or the IRS to allow these experiments to continue. Because one problem is that if DoorDash or other companies are providing these set of benefits, you know, at the state level, the federal government can still step in and say, well, you provided benefits, so under the IRS, right, they're still going to look like employees. And so what we really need is the federal government to kind of come out and say and to allow these portable benefits programs to continue happening at the state level.
We have been talking with Leah Palagashvili, who is a labor economist at the Mercatus Center, that, of course, at George Mason University. Leah, tell us a little bit about Mercatus, and also where can folks go? You've written on this a very excellent brief. Where can folks find all that?
Yes, yeah, so the Mercatus Center is a research center based out of George Mason University. We conduct research, cultivate talent, and communicate our research ideas to the general public and to policymakers. And they can find the policy brief on mercatus.org.
Leah Palakashvili of the Mercatus Center at George Mason University. Leah, thank you for being back with us. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much. It was great to talk with you again.